And so we pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us to open our minds and our hearts to what you have to say to us today. Amen. Please be seated. Just at the start, I would like to say a particular well done to Bob for that reading from Acts 2. It's renowned as being the reading that no one in church ever wants to do. The one Sunday of the year you don't want to find yourself on the rota is Pentecost. That list of places dealt with superbly. I once had a friend, genuinely, who read it in church, not this church, a different one, and got to the last sentences going through. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. But she read it as Cretans and Arabs. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful description of us here in church. We are a bunch of Cretans gathered together by God's grace. So welcome, brother and sister Cretans, this morning. Pentecost. 50 days after Passover. After the Exodus from Egypt. That's what Pentecost marks originally. It was the festival of the first fruits, the start of the harvest, where the farmers, those who had agricultural holdings, would take the very first crops, the first sheaves of wheat, the first apples, pomegranates, pears, I don't know what exactly they grew. But they would take them and use them and give them as a gift, as their worship, because it marked the occasion, 50 days after the Exodus, after the Passover. And they marked this because 50 days after the Exodus and the Passover, the people of Israel got to Mount Sinai, where God gave the law, the Ten Commandments. God gave them a gift. So the people of Israel commemorated this. One of the great festivals Pentecost is by gathering together, celebrating, and giving to God a gift, the gift of the first fruits. I say this because the author, the writer of Acts, Luke, is keen for us to make this connection as we read this passage in Acts chapter 2. He wants us to make that connection with Pentecost. Not because the day itself is important, not because it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday or the third Sunday in the month or any of that kind of stuff that we Anglicans really seem to quite delight in, but because it was Pentecost, because of the significance of the festival, the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. This is kind of setting up what happens next in the harvest. And Luke wants us to be aware of the significance of Pentecost for us as Christians. Sometimes Pentecost is talked about as being the antithesis of the events of Babel. The story of Babel you can find in Genesis. It's one of the early stories in this beautiful creation poem. And it's this account of how the people got so arrogant that they felt they could build a tower and reach God himself. And the writer tells us in this beautiful epic of how God scatters them. And they go their separate ways with different languages and different tongues. So as we hear this account of the Pentecost that the disciples encountered, we can hear echoes of this event. Because it tells us that when the Spirit came and fell on Jesus' followers, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. And there were people there gathered, as we've already heard, from all over the known world, in all of these different languages. But actually, there's something more specific and more important for us to be aware of here. It's not just everyone with different languages gathered together, but Jews and proselytes. The people were gathered in Jerusalem because it was a festival. They were gathered to celebrate. So they were people who observed the faith, Jewish faith, this celebration. People from Parthia, Mede, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, you see, it's difficult to read. All of these people gathered together, but actually, the reason that they were scattered is because they had been given already God's law, but they'd messed up. The kingdom that God had given them had been split apart. They had gone their separate ways. You have the various exiles, people taken to Assyria, taken to Babylon, people taken right across the known world. You've got the Samaritans in Samaria who hived off from the rest of the people of the land of Israel, who betrayed them. So there's this story here, this list, of a group of people separated by their choice. And actually, this first thing that the Holy Spirit does is bring them together. It's bringing the whole world together, but it is uniting God's people. It is suddenly this gift that is available for everybody. Now, the Holy Spirit, when it fell in this powerful way on the disciples, wasn't something new. The Holy Spirit, you'll find the whole way through the Old Testament, through the Bible, it's there, all these moments. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is given at particular moments to particular people for particular purposes. And you can read through and you can find these things where it says the Spirit fell on so and so. It fell on Saul, the king, who doesn't get a necessarily good write-up apart from that. It falls on Bezalel, who is this craftsman who is given by the Spirit of God these amazing creative gifts to design, to put together the tent of meeting where the Ark of the Covenant was. There are all these occasions when the Spirit falls for particular reasons, for a particular time that passes. But what we hear about here, what we hear in the events of that particular Pentecost in Jerusalem, was that suddenly there is a new accessibility of the Spirit. It is for everybody. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Your slaves, everybody. It is for everybody. It's no longer just for the particular special people. It's not just if you do a particular thing or look a particular way, or if you've reached a particular level of maturity, or you have a particular haircut, or a particular way of dressing. It is for everybody. You see, the Holy Spirit is bringing people together into a new, more powerful, more accessible family. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. It unites us. Now, yesterday afternoon, we had a time called Mission Thrive, which was billed as the away day that wasn't an away day because it was neither a way nor a day. And we gathered in the barn for this event where we spent some time thinking about how we as followers of Jesus can grow, how we can thrive, not just survive. How we can be all that God calls us to be. And we thought about some tools, some of the things that help us to do that. We thought about the people who've gone before us. We thought about the people, the heroes that we hear about in the Bible. We thought about those first Christians. We thought about their successes, the people who wrote down some of this stuff for the first time. Some of the first people who thought about those writings. Some of the great early Christian fathers. We thought about those throughout the ages who've reflected on that. Some of the great visionaries, men and women of faith who have given us extra insight. We thought about contemporary Christians in our own society who inspire us, who do amazing things for God. We thought about those people, about how they can help us to grow because they portray for us inspiration. They remind us of what God can do with ordinary people like us. We thought about those people around us, those people who encourage us, who share with us. We did various activities yesterday that we could only do together. We're stronger together. We can do more together than we can do on our own, and we thought about that. We've thought about various things like home groups. Last Sunday we talked about home groups and the importance of them in the life of the church, of how we encourage and share, of how we read the Bible together, what we can grow in from that. All of these things we thought about, how we can grow and go deeper in God, how we can thrive and not just survive. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does in us. It brings us together and fills us up. It inspires us and sends us out. We talked yesterday as well about those things that are different for each of us but inspire us, those things that get us up in the morning, those things that make us passionate, those things that get us excited, those things that light that fire in our hearts that can't go out, and about how those things can inspire us and help us to grow. And we talked about how that's different for each one of us. And the encouragement was for us yesterday, and I want to share this with you today, that encouragement to find those things that will be different for each one of us. Find it and embrace it. Let God do something in you through it. Let God do more in you than you can imagine. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on those first disciples, and it sounded like a rushing wind, and it looked like flames of fire on each one of their heads. You see, the Holy Spirit is difficult to systemize. It's difficult to put into neat theological terms and put in a box that's easy to deal with. Holy Spirit, in fact, God, is best encountered, is best experienced, is best embraced. Be open to what God is doing and receive it. A couple of weeks ago, Guy was talking about the vision day that we'll be having in July, July the 3rd, a day for us to come together as a church right across all the various services and congregations and spend some time praying and listening to God and seeking His vision for what He wants to do here. And Guy invited all of us to spend some time thinking and praying and asking God for pictures, for words of encouragement, for verses that might speak into what we're going to do. And I just want to sort of reiterate that and actually share something that I've been thinking about. I'm not a particularly visual person. I tend to get random thoughts. That's the way that God tends to speak to me. And over the last couple of weeks, there's been a thought that's bouncing around in my head, which is asking God to prepare us for what He has in store. Asking God to prepare us for what He has in store. Which is perhaps a strange way of thinking about it at first, because if God wants to give us stuff, then let's just ask for the stuff. But actually, maybe God has to prepare us for what He's going to be doing next. Because the Holy Spirit, God, is best experienced, encountered, embraced. So may that be our prayer today. May that be our prayer always as Christians, that we might be open to what God is doing. But today particularly, I'd invite you to spend some time asking God to give you afresh a new vision of that Spirit, a new outpouring of what He's got for you. Perhaps during communion, you might take opportunity to go and receive the laying on of hands, asking someone to pray for you. Perhaps it might be that you take that moment to sit quietly in your pew and ask God to pour out on you what He has for you. Perhaps it might be this afternoon to take a walk somewhere quiet and peaceful and to ask for God's Spirit in those places. But God's Spirit is for all His people. He invites us to come together and to be filled. He invites us to receive what He has for us and to thrive. As we finished yesterday, we put together a banner which showed a picture of a tree. Because we used this as one of our key images yesterday, of how a tree grows, of how it thrives, of how it roots down deeply and grows. It receives water and nutrients. And those water and nutrients grow up through the branches and produce beautiful, glorious leaves. And as part of what we did, we wrote down on these leaves some of the things that make us thrive. And I'm going to leave this here. So a chance for you to look at it at the end of the service perhaps and see some of those things that other people have found have helped them. But this picture of a tree growing strong and beautiful is what God calls us to do. To thrive in Him, powered by the Holy Spirit, released by the work of Jesus, to the glory of God. That's our prayer. Amen.